poor in the country, nothing's in the budget. You can try your hardest, can't buy you justice. Wanna jump in the truck and go and grab the musket. That's what you call buy you justice. Buy you justice. Buy you justice. Who really knows the truth and can you really trust it? Buy you justice. Buy you justice. You can try your hardest, can't buy you justice.
Okay, now, Nanette Quintel was found inside her house, which had been burned down. Her house burned down. The entire home was completely destroyed. Her body was found inside, along with her pets, all dead. Her husband told folks, I can imagine the house caught fire, something blew up. I don't know what might happen, but something caught the house on fire, and she loved those animals. She probably went back in and trying to rescue the animals, trying to catch them. They're afraid, and then she succumbed to smoke inhalation, passed out, burn up in the house. That's probably what happened. Well, the sheriff's office came along and said, no, we interviewed all of her family and her friends. She was despondent. She was depressed. We believe she committed suicide. Then the coroner comes along and says, no suicide. Look, we found out that she had already died before the fire started. The sheriff's office said, well, okay, I guess we can investigate it as a homicide. But guess what? We have no suspects. No suspects? Well, what about her husband? He's a fire chief. He's an expert on fire. No. He has an ironclad alibi, and he has bent over backwards to help the sheriff's office. The husband is not a suspect. Well, what about the husband's girlfriend? Nope, she's not a suspect because they had already split up. Well, what about the husband's brother who said he was going to shoot Nanette in the head and burn the house? Could it have been him? So believe it or not, Brian Quintel, who was the husband's husband, the husband's brother still is, he also had an alibi. So we have a crime. We believe it's a murder. No, it was a murder. But we have no idea who did it. There's no legal, no official suspects, according to the sheriff's office. This is the most frustrating case. This happened in 2017. I don't write about a case until it's cold. I started writing about it in 2019, but it's still then. It seems so straightforward that I didn't think it would be open this long. And it is just so frustrating to me that it still is. Tonight, guys, we have this chat online, and I see a lot of folks are participating, and I surely appreciate that. So anything you think, any theories you have along the way, by all means, share it so we can talk about it tonight. We'll stay here as long as you want to stay here and get some stuff done. I'm H.L. Arledge, and this is Bayou Justice. One of the investigative reporters who has kept this case alive, who's probably did more work on this than anybody else, is Katie Moore from WWL Channel 4 in New Orleans, Eyewitness News. She's done a lot. So I want to publicly thank her for keeping this case alive. And I thought it very fitting to begin by allowing her to introduce the facts to you.
The state fire marshal will only officially say the fire was intentionally set. Sources close to the investigation say they found Nanette laying on her back on the floor of the master bathroom. Her killer doused the DVR that recorded the Krentel surveillance cameras in the living room and parts of the master bedroom with accelerant, then set the fire in at least two places. If there were any clues to what happened to Nanette on that DVR, they were consumed by the fire. Even the FBI could not retrieve the video. 5 years ago today, the wife of a North Shore fire chief was found shot and burned in the home that they shared. Who killed her has remained a mystery, with friends and loved ones questioning how investigators have handled Nanette Krentel's homicide. We chronicled those concerns in our investigative special, Mystery in Ashes, and in my podcast, Beyond Bardstown, Lacombe. Tonight, loved ones gathered in St. Tammany in hopes that they will keep the case alive.
When we have joys, we yearn to share.
This is the statement she always made.
We remember Nanette.
As long as I have my guns.
As long as we live.
And the cameras.
Nanette too shall live.
And I'm at home. I'm safe.
We remember Nanette.
But she wasn't. 5 years ago today, Dan Watson learned his daughter, Nanette Krentel, was gone. She had been shot, her body burned in the home that she shared with her fire chief husband, Steve. The mystery of who killed her remains today.
I've lost many loved ones, but I know that I'll see them again.
So friends and relatives gathered to honor her memory at her final resting place.
Remember Nanette.
And the St. Tammany Sheriff's Office.
I assume that very shortly after, there would be an arrest and we'd be making progress. But 5 years later, and with technology and forensics today, it's hard to believe that we still don't have answers.
Krentel's family hired their own experts to help with an investigation they feared was mishandled by the sheriff's office from the start, as detectives thought early on Nanette had committed suicide.
Did Sheriff Smith directly insinuate to you that he thought
yes.
This was a suicide, that yeah. Nanette had killed herself?
To myself, Randy and Kim were also there, but we all three heard him say suicide.
We need to find justice for her so that she can finally, truly rest in peace.
The St. Tammany DA, Warren Montgomery, subpoenaed all the records in the case from the sheriff's office in 2020, starting an investigation of his own. Family members say his investigators have spoken with them as recently as May.
There will be justice for Nanette.
With that brings hope that they will find Nanette's killer. But even if they do, one man will never know. Dan Watson.
We unfortunately lost her dad back in October. And it breaks my heart. It breaks all of our hearts that he wouldn't be alive to see justice served. And he deserved to see that in his lifetime.
And at one point, Sheriff Smith hired outside investigators to take another look at the case to try and find the killer before the DA had subpoenaed all those records. At this point, they say the investigation is now in the DA's hands, and a spokesman for Montgomery said he couldn't comment on it because it is still an open investigation.
An open investigation, indeed. Again, I told you I started writing about this case in 2019, and I've interviewed several people since that time. But let's start there. Let's start with that initial report. I want to go through it with you, and I'll stop. I've got several film clips queued up, as well as some other things that I think you're going to need to see tonight. We'll touch on that. But let's get started here. So this was I think in December of 2019. The crime happened in July of 2017. But this is when I wrote it. A couple of years later. Nanette Krentel's house on Philip Smith Road in rural Lacombe, Louisiana, burned to the ground on July 14th, 2017. Inside, investigators found the charred remains of Harley, Nanette's long-haired chihuahua, along with the bodies of baby Kitty and Smokey, Nanette's kittens. And from the evidence collected, investigators believed all three pets died of smoke inhalation. Still, someone had doused at least one of the pets with gasoline before the fire started. As an animal lover, that's very tough for me, and I think it's probably tough for you. Can you imagine dipping the animals in gas before setting house fires? And as you saw from Katie's report, there was at least two places on opposite ends of the house where the fire was intentionally started. After these animals were doused, at least one animal was doused with gasoline. What kind of person does this? Investigators found in those ashes Nanette's body. However, they initially believed the 49-year-old beauty died not from smoke inhalation like the animals, but from being burned. 6 years after her death today, investigators still cannot agree whether Nanette Crintel committed suicide or someone shot her in the head with a small caliber handgun. Initially, the St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office treated her death as a suicide, discontinuing the crime scene investigation after finding two handguns near her body. That's really how they decided it was a suicide. They found a gun by her body and said, oh, suicide, let's pack it up and head home. 5 days later, ballistic tests proved that neither one of those guns killed Nanette. And police again cordoned off the crime scene as if it had never been taken down, put up the barricades, the yellow tape, the whole bit. They were looking for another weapon. They found 30 of them, 30 weapons. And running all the ballistics tests, going through all of those guns, they couldn't prove that any one of them killed her. The following September, St. Tammany coroner Charles Preston said he found no smoke or burn debris in Nanette's respiratory system and again declared her death a homicide. The fire, he said, reached Nanette after she had stopped breathing. The same afternoon that the coroner made that announcement, Sheriff Randy Smith issued his own news release. He said that his agency could not support the coroner's conclusions. Later, like the next day, reacting to an outraged public in a press conference, the sheriff recanted his earlier statement, and he insisted that his office had really never stopped investigating it as a possible homicide. The sheriff said, "We are diligently working on this case, and our detectives will continue to work until we have all the answers." That's what he said 6 years ago. On November 8th, 2017, the Huffington Post published an interview with an unnamed investigator with Smith's office. "We don't understand the coroner's ruling," the source said. "This is all for naught. We know what happened. There's no mystery. This death is a suicide." A member of Nan's close-knit senior class at Archbishop Chappelle High School in Metairie, a young lady named Lori Rondo, told Police Magazine, People Magazine Investigates, that Nanette was her best friend. And Nanette had exhibited signs of depression after her husband admitted to having an affair. Rando said the last few months of her life, Nanette started pulling away. There was less and less contact between her and her friends and family. Expanding on this suicide theory, I mean, I like to be fair. I like to look at this from all different sides. I don't want to be biased. So we're going to try this. Expanding on the original suicide theory, we're going to recount Nanette Crintel's last day and consider what did happen if she killed herself. And again, this is what I was doing in 2019, trying to be fair. According to a Walgreens parking lot security camera and Nanette's credit card and cell phone, the location GPS from the cell phone towers, those records, Nanette's Mercedes SUV went through the drive-through at a McDonald's on North Shore Boulevard in Slidell the morning of the fire. So there were some folks that thought she might have, you know, they theorized she might have died the night before and then somebody burnt the house down the next day. But there are these records that show at least her vehicle went through that drive-through and someone used her card and her cell phone going through that drive-through. She bought a $7 breakfast, according to these records, and had Harley in the front seat beside her. Now, there was a grainy video, and I will get to this. I'm speaking off out of the column right now. But there was a grainy video one of those security cameras picked up, and it had what appeared to be a hairy chihuahua in the front seat. So they're thinking that's Harley. And that sounds like it would be Nan, because Nan, that's what they called Nanette, typically didn't go anywhere without that dog. So that's where all that comes from, all that thinking. Family members said the long-haired chihuahua went everywhere with Nanette and could be easily identified even in the grainy video. Despite multiple requests from Nanette's family, the police refused, and this is still true today, 6 years later, the sheriff's office refuses to make that surveillance video public. I mean, there's nothing terrible in it. It's not a video of her being killed. It's a video of her going through a drive-through at McDonald's. What's wrong with releasing that? Maybe somebody would see something that could help us. At 9:11 a.m., a security camera on Philip Smith Road picked up her Mercedes. Now she's returning to the Crindle home. So they see her car after it was at McDonald's. Now it's heading back to her home. It sounds like it's her. Now, so far, that supports the possible suicide theory, wouldn't you think? Just wait. Nanette's phone records listed an outgoing call to Kmart at 10:03 in the morning. So she's already headed back home. At 10:03, she calls Kmart. Workers there said a woman claiming to be Nanette phoned about a prescription refill. So certainly before you shoot yourself in the head, you want to try to get your latest medicine bottle refilled, right? These clues tell us that Nanette decided to have a hearty breakfast and order new medication just hours before killing herself. Does that make sense to you? In the early afternoon, according to a lady who did not know Nanette or her husband, Nanette accidentally called this lady's number. Nan's cell phone records confirmed the call also about 1:30. Now, at 2:30 in the afternoon, that's when Nanette's neighbor called 911 and said, "Hey, the Crindle house is on fire." Given this information, if Nanette decided to kill herself after getting off the phone with Kmart, she had roughly 3 hours to start fires in at least two rooms after dousing the house with gasoline. Remember, this house burnt to the ground. There was nothing left of it. There was whatever the accelerant was, be it gasoline or alcohol or what, it was everywhere. Everywhere. This house was completely demolished. Whoever set that fire knew what they were doing. Even the security camera equipment and the animals were doused with gasoline. Okay, go back to the suicide thing. So next, Nan would have entered the master bedroom with three handguns. Eventually, she picked one and put a bullet in her right temple. The lead, by the way, never left her skull. The gun she used fell into some hidden location, apparently, because we can't prove that any one of those three guns that were found in the bedroom was the one that killed her. So it fell into some hidden location, and the other two handguns that they first found was for some reason easier to find, closer to the body. The other one, I'll tell you about that. The third gun was the one that she carried with her most of the time. It was in her purse. And it was the closest match to what had killed her, but they could not prove that it killed her. Okay, Nan stopped breathing before the fires reached the bedroom somehow. So she must have diluted her accelerant to make it burn slower than regular gasoline. However, these slow-burning fires would also have to accelerate after she died somehow, just suddenly picked up speed. The flames had engulfed and destroyed the home before Nanette's fire chief husband arrived at 3 o'clock. So 30 minutes later, he was there. And there's video cameras of him in his truck, dash cam, of him coming up to the house at 3 o'clock. Maybe it's me, but the sheriff's office suicide theory doesn't seem plausible given these facts. Perhaps Nan loved her cheating husband enough to off herself. Then it is conceivable that she didn't want to leave her house for the other woman, okay? But why pour gasoline on the security cameras? And why would the animal lover put her animals outside before setting the house on fire? None of that adds up, people. None of that. So if you believe Nanette committed suicide, I got some swampland I can sell you. There's a lot of it around here. Let's jump over to the chat and see what folks are saying. Thanks a lot, Lil Mirando. Lil, by the way, was for many, many years the editor for the Hammond Daily Star newspaper. So she, if anybody knows news and this sort of thing, it is certainly her. She says here, there must be something they don't want people to see, and that's why they're not releasing that video. I surely agree with that. And I appreciate the comment also about Katie Moore. All right, that said, let's jump in. I've got some more video we can look at. Let's take a look.
State Fire Marshal 5 years ago today officially say.
Why are we re-showing that again? Stop it. Behave yourself. The modern technology is just wonderful, huh? All right, so here we go. It's time to meet Steve Krentel.
Fire District 12 Chief Steve Krentel entered the Covington Justice Center Thursday afternoon, just hours after being cleared by the St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office in the murder of his wife, 49-year-old Nanette Krentel.
At this time, our initial primary person of interest in this investigation, the victim's husband, has been cleared.
Inside the courthouse, District 12 Fire Chief Steve Krentel said he was relieved that he still had not yet recovered from the sheriff's announcement and hopes now all of the talk will center now on his wife, Nanette, and what she meant to the community. The investigation into her death continues. In Covington, Heath Allen, WDSU News.
It has not been easy. I really believed it was her chasing the dog around, trying to get out of the home. And I thought that's what had happened to her. And the day of the funeral is when I found out that she actually had a gunshot wound. And the coroner's office decision is at least a decision and moving in the right direction to some kind of an answer. And that is all I care about at this time, is to get an answer, an accurate, true answer. I believe in time that they'll figure out who did this, because I don't believe people can be quiet forever.
The St. Tammany Fire District 12 Civil Service Board launched an investigation focusing squarely on Fire Chief Steve Krentel. This letter was delivered to the board by firefighter Thomas Williamson, alleging improprieties including nepotism, misuse, and destruction of property, but most startling, the possible relationship with a non-classified employee of District 12.
I do not have a relationship in a sexual nature at all with a non-classified employee.
Have you ever?
I have in the past, yes. And my wife was aware of it. I'm not getting a lawyer. I see no purpose in it. I would like to see their facts for this, and then I can present the facts that this is not the case.
Inside this Covington firehouse, sitting next to Fire Chief Stephen Krentel, firefighter Tom Williamson made it clear how he feels about his boss.
I did not want to be in the same room with this man.
But the two are side by side at the Civil Service Board meeting, hearing complaints raised by Williamson against Krentel.
This department has been full of scandal. It seems to be every 2 years we end up in the newspaper or in the media.
Williamson says not only did Krentel have an inappropriate relationship with a female staffer, but he created a hostile work environment for firefighters and even allegedly stole an air conditioning unit paid for with taxpayer money. Williamson says that he and other firefighters were concerned for their jobs if they ever spoke out.
Fear of retaliation is real.
These allegations come after Krentel's wife was found shot and killed and her body then burned inside their Lacombe home over the summer. The sheriff says Krentel has been cleared as a suspect, but the investigation into her death continues. None of the allegations relate to the murder case. Krentel talked about Williamson's allegations as he left.
Only thing that I mentioned to the board was all of these allegations are false in the way that he described them. I have the documentation to prove that. I can't wait to the day I can present it.
I'm just glad that we've come to the conclusion of this part. And out of the almost 20 allegations, there were only the two allegations that had any merit to it. The affairs I admitted to when this happened, when it came into question. And as far as the air conditioners went, I did not document and take a picture of them being in the dumpster.
Fire Chief Stephen Krentel has announced his retirement. He's been under investigation since last November after a firefighter came forward with claims against him, saying that Krentel had an alleged affair, created a hostile environment in the firehouse, and misused firehouse property that was purchased with taxpayer money. His retirement date is set for September 1st. This is the fire chief whose wife was found shot to death in her home. It happened after it was set on fire. Officials say Nanette Krentel had been shot in the head last July, and investigators found a firearm near her body. The FBI is investigating the case as a homicide, and no suspects have been named.
No suspects have been named. And that brings us to the second report that I did on the case. And we're going to jump in there real quick. And it starts with a summary and then it gets into new details, or at least new to my reading office audience in 2019. Wednesday morning, September 14th, 2017. The St. Tammany Parish coroner, Dr. Charles Preston, ruled Nanette Krentel's death a homicide. The next day, St. Tammany Parish Sheriff Randy Smith said his office had cleared her husband, District 12 Fire Chief Steve Krentel, of any wrongdoing. By the way, I don't know. Everybody says, some folks say Krentel, some say Krentel, and you'll hear me going back and forth because I've heard it both ways so many times. If you can correct me, by all means, do that in the chat. Weeks earlier, Preston told reporters he found no soot in the victim's airway, even microscopic, leading to the strong argument that Nanette died before the fire started. Following that announcement, Sheriff Smith said in an emailed press release that his office did not necessarily support the coroner's conclusion. First responders found Nanette Krentel, 49, dead on July 14th, her body lying face up on the master bedroom floor, burned beyond recognition. The Louisiana State Fire Marshal said someone intentionally set this in multiple places. Weeks later, on the day of Nan's memorial service, the coroner disclosed that DNA test confirmed Nanette's identity. And her autopsy proved she died when a small caliber bullet entered her skull above the right temple without exiting. This time, Preston backed his homicide confirmation with two autopsies conducted by his pathologist, and a subsequent private autopsy was performed by a pathologist that was hired by Nanette Crentell's family. And also, if that wasn't enough, reconstruction work of the victim's skull was done by the FACES lab, Forensic Anthropology Computer Enhancement Services, over at LSU. Speaking after Preston at this news conference, Sheriff Smith insisted his office had always investigated Nanette's death as a homicide case. However, he said, her husband cooperated fully with investigators from day one and had been quickly ruled out as the murderer. According to Smith, Steve Krentel admitted to an affair before his wife's death. Still, he provided a solid alibi and passed a polygraph test. After discovering the affair, Nanette's family and friends said she wanted to end the marriage. Still, Steve Krentel claimed the couple had worked through their problems and that he had left the other woman. Television's People magazine investigates. You'll remember we talked about that, their investigation in the earlier article. They probed the case the following November. After speaking with Sheriff Smith, their team accepted Krentel's alibi and searched elsewhere for a suspect. Now, at that point, the sheriff's office had never offered a suspect. And they, you know, their thing was, it's an open case. And they'll tell you that today. It's an open case. It's an unsolved open case. So we can't talk about it. Yet, the sheriff has talked about it many, many times. He's been interviewed over and over and over. So things don't quite add up there anyway. But going back to People magazine. So they first turned their attention to Steve Krentel's son, Justin. Family members reported issues between Justin and his stepmother. However, according to the St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office, Justin also had an alibi. Police say Justin left the state shortly before Nanette's killer visited her home. The television documentary next considered Steve Krentel's brother, Brian Krentel. According to Nanette's family, Brian had a lengthy criminal record. He believed Nanette was responsible for him going to jail on a drug count in 2015. Okay, so I'm gonna stop. I'm gonna pause for a moment and show you a different slide. Let's see, where am I at here? I'm sorry. Take a look at this. Get my ugly mug out of the way. This is Brian Krentel's rap sheet, or the most that we have of it. As you can see, quite a busy guy, and he had several DWIs. And in Louisiana, three strikes, you're out. So it's a pretty serious deal. I don't even know how he's still out and walking the streets after what appears to be four DWIs. But the last one was a DWI-3 charge, it looks like, and that was in 2016, so the year before Nanette had died. So, So he definitely was an interesting guy, a bad guy. According to this report, people are innocent until proven guilty, but definitely a lot of smoke and probably leading to some fire there. But this is the record of Brian Michael Krentel. So let's keeping that in mind, let's continue our reading. On the television program, Steve Krentel said, Brian was somebody I worried about because Brian had a strong contempt for Nanette. Steve Krentel described his wife as being proficient with firearms, saying she owned four or five guns and never went anywhere without one. Police found three handguns near her body and nearly three dozen other weapons in the ruins of the fire. A relative of Nanette's said Nan learned to shoot because she felt deathly afraid of Brian Krentel. She told the relative he was the reason she carried a gun and had security cameras installed in the house. Nanette also said Brian Krentel had threatened to burn the Krentel home with her inside. Okay. Going to stop reading again and show you something else. Nanette, in 2011, so this is way back, sent some emails to some family members talking about her fear of Brian. So that kind of confirms the fact that when she learned to shoot, when she started buying guns, it was several years before she died. And it adds up that maybe it was because she was afraid. This is an email from Nan to her father, Dan Watson. It was sent Friday, March 4th, 2011 at 10:58 in the morning. And it says, Brian is capable of anything, and someone that has nothing to lose, is full of hate, uses drugs, makes threats, is a loose cannon. That's what she's telling her father about Steve Krentel's brother. Later that same day, in another email, Nan tells her father, again talking about Brian, he says, I will start your house on fire and kill you when you come out. And Nanette says, that's a serious threat to me. Well, folks, that's a serious threat to me also. All right? And then the last email I want to show you, this is to Kim Watson. Kim is Nan's sister. Also, I don't know the date of this one, but it's also referring to Brian. And he says, Nan says, he threatened to set the house on fire, rape me, and kill us. That is frustrating. That is frustrating. Circumstantial evidence, would you say? Just jumping down to, I'm just kind of glancing at some of the notes coming in. A gentleman named Randall says, I saw the McDonald's video. You could not tell it was a dog, let alone her dog. You could not identify Nan in the video, and you could not identify the vehicle as Nan's. The video was that poor. So when they refer to it as a grainy video, that's what they mean. So it could be that the reason that the sheriff doesn't want us to see it is because he knows it's not definitive. It's not showing everything that they're telling us that it is showing. Maybe it's a good time talking about the sheriff. Let's see. Maybe it is a good time to jump over. We'll stop that and find out about the sheriff. This is Sheriff Randy Smith. You probably heard of him. He served over there for a long time, and he is still the sheriff.
There are many questions tonight surrounding the death of a woman who was the wife of a St. Tammany Parish fire chief. Her body was found a week ago after the family's home went up in flames, but today an autopsy revealed she didn't die in the fire, but instead from a gunshot wound. The revelation coming on the same day of the woman's funeral. Jacqueline Quinn brings us the latest in this case.
News that Nanette Krentel didn't die in the fire could not have come at a more inopportune time, as dozens gathered to remember her. It came as the St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office released that an autopsy determined Nanette Krentel was not killed in the fire last Friday at her home in Lacombe, but rather by being shot.
At this time, our initial primary person of interest in this investigation, the victim's husband, has been cleared. Stephen Krentel has been fully cooperative with this investigation from the beginning. from the beginning. I am not disputing Dr. Preston, our coroner, his expert opinion into the cause of death. But I was concerned yesterday about the timing of the release because of pending lab results.
The Louisiana Attorney General will not prosecute a federal agent arrested by the St. Tammany Sheriff's Office for criticizing one of their detectives in an email.
Jerry Rogers is a federal agent for HUD's Inspector General. He took an interest in the mysterious circumstances around the death of a fire chief's wife 2 years ago. Nanette Krentel was found shot, her body burned in the Lacombe home she shared with her husband. Through an anonymous email, Rogers had raised concerns to the Krentel family about how the lead detective for the St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office was handling the investigation. Sheriff Randy Smith fired another detective, Stephen Montgomery, for talking to Rogers and arrested Rogers on a criminal defamation charge for the emails. From the beginning, the St. Tammany Parish District Attorney's Office has noted that the defamation law was unconstitutional as it applies to public officials, like they did in this letter to the Attorney General. And today, state prosecutors agreed, sending this letter to Rogers. Assistant Attorney General Joseph LeBeau writes, quote, because the alleged conduct under these specific facts involves statements aimed at a public official performing public duties, this office is precluded by law from moving forward with any criminal action. Sources close to the investigation have said the FBI's Civil Rights Division launched an investigation into Rogers' arrest. A spokesman for Sheriff Smith defended the arrest, saying, quote, Rogers was arrested after a warrant was signed by Judge Raymond Childress, in which he found there was probable cause. While we are certainly disappointed with the Attorney General's office decision not to move forward with criminal action in this case, we accept their decision as well as the process.
You may remember Smith arrested Rogers, saying his comments caused the Krentel family to lose confidence in the investigation. But the Krentel family members we've spoken with say that's not the case, that the sheriff caused them to lose faith in it.
We're working hard every day. This is a priority. Of course, we know that this is a high-profile case. We have an investigator assigned to this that is working day by day, following up on every lead that we get. We're very confident with hopefully in the near future we will have a break in this case.
So the sheriff is very confident, and I mean, he just exudes confidence to me. Other folks are asking some questions, wanting to know about the track of the bullet. I don't know. I do not know. I have not actually. I don't have the autopsy myself. If anyone does, by all means, please share that information with us. Earlier, Lil was asking about the suicide note. If there was a suicide note, I guess it'd burn up, you know. But no, I don't think there was ever one, because I certainly do not think there was a suicide. And you know, if she truly, I guess if she wanted to leave one and didn't want it to catch fire, there was always email, which she used pretty routinely. So no, I don't think there was any chance of there being a suicide note. All right, let's continue with some reading here. So we were talking about Brian Krentel, who you would say, well, okay, Nanette said that he said he was going to kill her. He said he was going to rape her. He was going to burn their house with her inside. So you'd think that would be your prime suspect. However, the sheriff, you know, the lead chief investigator on this case that you just met, well, he also cleared Brian Krentel, said he had an alibi. Now, you're going to love this alibi. He had, I'm kind of breaking from my story here, but I just got to tell you this. He had an ankle monitor. He was out of jail and had an ankle monitor on him. So, wow, that's easy. Yeah, so we can just look at the GPS coordinates and we'll know right away if he went to Nanette's house. And this is another little side note, but some of Nanette's family, you know, after they pulled down the yellow tape and all the barricades and all that stuff, pulled all that away, and Nanette's family got over. They live in Iowa, I believe. When they got into town and came to the house, guess who's there? Guess who's walking around the yard? Brian Crintell. Yeah. So anyway, Brian Crintell, the guy with the ankle bracelet, was, according to them, he was at his mother's house. So, yeah, Steve Crintell's mom and dad, Brian Crintell's mom and dad, he was staying over at their house. He had been let out of jail, had this monitor on. The 25th Judicial District Court had let him out, but the ankle monitor was off. Yeah, wasn't working right. Somebody had accidentally turned it off a few days before the fire. Speaking of that accidentally or malfunctioning equipment, the surveillance camera, all the surveillance equipment in the house and on the grounds that Nan had installed because she was afraid of Brian Crintell, all that stuff was turned off. Yeah, a couple of nights before Nan died, somebody turned all of that off. Yeah, and somebody, of course, set it all on fire, poured gas on it and burned it up. Anyway, but they didn't have to because the equipment was never turned on. I'm sure that's in the story. Let's read. During the fire, the 25th Judicial District Court had Brian Crintell under electronic monitoring. However, investigators discovered that someone accidentally deactivated the GPS signal from Brian Crintell's ankle bracelet sometime before Nanette's murder. Additionally, ironically, coincidentally, and unbelievably, Steve Crintell reported that someone deactivated the surveillance system at his residence the night before the murder. Regardless, the television documentary suggested that the person responsible for Nanette Crintell's death used gasoline to ensure that the fire destroyed the surveillance equipment. Now that could mean that the person who turned the equipment off is not the person who set the fire. I mean, it's possible, because why burn it up if you knew that it hadn't been on? So that is kind of interesting. If it was innocent until proven guilty, Brian, then that would make sense because he had been in jail. He gets out of jail, and the surveillance equipment has been installed since then. He goes in, committed the crime. Not saying he did, but I'm just saying if he did, he goes in. And now, surprise, surveillance equipment, he doesn't know it's been turned off, so he grabs it and sets it fire. That would line up. The problem with all of that, again, the GPS is turned off, the ankle monitor is turned off. However, Steve Crintell, even though his cameras at his house didn't work, the ones he installed at his parents' house apparently did work, and they caught Brian Crintell. He was there just chilling out at his mom and dad's at the exact same time that the house was burnt down. And how do they know that? Well, there's a clock on the wall in the video that has the time, and the video has the time, so that means there's probably no tampering. Goodness. I don't know about 2017, but I promise you, there could be some tampering to fix that today. We can do almost anything from a technology perspective. By the way, I'm, in addition to being an investigative reporter, I'm also a computer programmer. Trust me, that could be hacked. All right, let me get back to the story here. Someone shot Nanette in the head and burned her home before her husband's fire district could put out the blaze. And the sheriff's office insists that all potential suspects have ironclad alibis. That leaves two possibilities. Number one, the murderer was a stranger who just happened by the rural 100-acre residence and coincidentally knew a great deal about setting fast-burning fires. Or perhaps someone with an alibi contracted somebody to kill Nanette. What do you think?
When you're poor in the country and nothing's in the budget, you can try your hardest, can't buy you justice. Wanna jump in the truck and go and grab the musket. That's what you call buy you justice. Buy you justice. Buy you justice. Who really knows the truth and can you really trust it? Buy you justice. Buy you justice. You can try your hardest, can't buy you justice.